Bibles to the book of 2 Peter, the third chapter, page 1320 in your Scofield Reference Bible. Beginning with verse 13, we'll read through the end of the chapter. That final verse of the chapter, verse 18, is the text verse for this evening's message. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. We'll read the verses responsively, and may we stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Let's pray. And Father, we thank You for the privilege and joy of being a part of this great church. Thank You for the reports tonight. Thank You for the joy and the thrill that we have experienced already in this service. And thank You for that which is to come, the preaching of Thy Word. What a wonderful opportunity is ours. Help us not to in any way quench the Holy Spirit tonight. Help us individually to be as You would have us to be, attentive, ready to soak up that which You have in mind for our hearts and our lives. Bless our preacher, very especially in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to sort of continue the sermon I preached this morning a little bit. I want to speak tonight on the subject, grow in grace, not grown in grace. Grow in grace, not grown in grace. Before I pray, let me bring you up to date just a little bit. I said this morning that everything that a person gets in the Christian life is gotten by faith. Faith is the key that unlocks all of God's cupboards. Everything you get from God, you get by faith. You don't get it because you're a good Christian. You don't get it because you're faithful. You don't get it because you're loyal. You don't get it because you're dedicated. You don't get it because you're separated. There are many Christians, I think, that love God more than others who get less things from God than others because everything that is gotten from God is gotten by faith. I also said this morning that faith is from God. Habakkuk 2:4 says, the just shall live by his faith. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. The faith is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Now, I said this morning, and I'm coming down to the message tonight in just a moment. I said this morning that God, according to Romans 12:3, gives to every man the measure of faith. God gives to every person on the face of this earth faith. When you respond and put that faith back in, you can do what you want to with that faith. God does not give you that faith and force you to put it back in Him. God gives you that faith and allows you to decide how you spend it. And you can put your confidence and trust in anything you want to, but the faith itself is a gift of God. Then I said when you put that faith, when you invest that faith that God gives you back into God, then God gives you more faith. And then you invest that back in God, He gives you more faith. Now that's what it means when it says grow in grace, for by grace are you saved through faith. So the faith that God gives you, then with which you can either trust Him or something else or somebody else, that faith is given to you, which means it's by grace. You didn't earn that faith any more than you earned your salvation. God gives it to you. So when the Bible says grow in grace, it's not, in first place, it's a command. It's a command, but it didn't say grow in works. It said grow in grace. Now, what is grace? Grace is simply taking what God offers. So grow in taking what God offers. Well, you say, well, then how do you grow in works? You don't grow in works. You grow by you don't grow by works. You grow by grace, and your works grow by growth. You see, you grow by appropriating the faith that God gives you into the next thing, and then you grow by grace through faith. But you grow, and from that growth comes more works. So works come from growth, and growth comes by grace through faith. Now, that sort of brings us up to date. You don't know what I'm talking about anyway, but it sort of brings us up to date. Father, bless the message tonight, please, to the hearts and lives of our people. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to say several things. Matthew, I don't turn to it, but Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48 says, "Be ye therefore perfect." Be ye therefore perfect. Now, if you want to paraphrase that a little bit, God is saying, be ye therefore be being perfect. Be ye therefore be becoming perfect. Be you on your way to maturity. The word perfect there is also translated maturity in the Bible. And the Lord says, be becoming mature. Be on your way to Christian maturity. But now, wait a minute. Don't decide what that means until we get the rest of it. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. So God says, you be therefore on the way to being perfect. All right? I'm mature. Then when do you get mature? When you get like your Father in heaven. You see? So be ye therefore be becoming perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And so you will have to keep on growing until you become like your Father in heaven. Now, when will that be? 1 John 3:2 says, "We shall be like when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." So then, when will I be mature? When I'm like him. That means I'm not mature now. That means I'm not grown. I'm not a grown Christian now. I am a growing Christian now. You see, and I'm going to make an issue out of this in a minute because it's very important. All right? Then I said, I want to go back to what I said so far. I said, the Bible said, Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect. Okay, be ye therefore becoming mature. Okay, for how long? Until you become like your Father, even as your Father in heaven is mature or perfect. And when will that be? That'll be at the rapture, when Jesus comes and the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet them in the air, and even so shall we ever be with the Lord. At that rapture, when we are caught up to meet the Lord in the air, then we receive our glorified bodies. Then we become perfect, because the Bible says we shall be like him when he shall appear, for we shall see him as he is. Now, when is this? Take your Bibles and open your Bibles to Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 23. Romans chapter number 8, page 1201 in your Scofield Bible, page 1201, Romans chapter 8 and verse number 23. I read the 23rd verse of Romans chapter 8. You follow me carefully. "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption." Hold it a minute. The word adoption to the Greek people and the Jewish people meant maturity. Waiting for the adoption, that is, it meant maturity. Waiting for the maturity or the adoption, to wit, or that is, the redemption of our bodies. All right? So when then will we be totally mature? When our bodies are redeemed. When will our bodies be redeemed? At the second coming of Jesus Christ, the rapture. When he appears, we then shall be like him. Now, I want to make several observations, but I want you to get this down first. You will continue, and God commands you to grow in grace. Doesn't say, I want you to grow in grace. Listen to me now. It is a command of God that you grow in grace. Now, how long are you to grow in grace until you become like the Father? When will you become like the Father? At the second coming or the rapture, when the saints are called to meet the Lord in the air, we shall be like him. Or, the Bible says, the redemption of our bodies. Now, I'm going to make several observations. Follow me carefully. Number one, There are then no mature Christians on the face of this earth. I am not a mature Christian. Dr. Evans, watch it there, Dick. I said, I'm not a mature Christian. That is not the time to say amen. That's right. Dr. Evans is not a mature Christian. Brother Ed Lapina is not a mature Christian. Dr. Lee Robertson is not a mature Christian. There are no mature Christians on the face of this earth. They will not be mature Christians until we awake in His likeness. For when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, and we shall see Him as He is, and then we'll be perfect or mature, if you please. At the redemption of our body, that's when we will have our adoption or our maturity. Consequently, there are no mature Christians on the face of this earth. There's not a single adult Christian on the face of this earth. There's no commencement or graduation from the Christian life where you can say, now I've graduated and I'm mature. I'm going to say a few words about that after a while. Number two, there are no mature Christians in heaven. Did you hear what I said? There are no mature Christians in heaven. Why? Because in heaven they do not yet have their glorified bodies. Jesus has not come again yet. Consequently, they are not like Him yet. Now, they do not sin, but they do not have their glorified bodies. So, Dwight L. Moody is in heaven, but he's not a mature Christian. And he will not be a mature Christian until Jesus comes and raises his old body from the grave, and he has his new glorified body. For according to Romans 8:23, that's when the maturity of a child of God comes. So, and then according to 1 John 3:2, that's when we shall be like Him. So, they're not like Him in heaven. That means that Billy Sunday is not mature yet. Are you listening to me now? That means that Billy Sunday is not mature yet. That means that Charles G. Finney is not mature yet. That means that John R. Rice is not mature yet. Why? Because no Christian will ever be mature until the rapture when he receives his glorified body. All right, I said number one. Observation, there are no mature Christians on the face of the earth. I said, number two, there are no mature Christians in heaven tonight. Number three, there are only, are you listening? There are only growing Christians and non-growing Christians on the earth tonight. Ask a question. In which group are you? Are you growing? How do you know you're growing? When you appropriate by faith what God has offered to you, then God gives you more faith and you appropriate by faith what else God offers to you. So I'm simply saying that until you awake in the likeness of Jesus Christ and get that glorified body like His, you will never be grown in grace. Now, that means all of us ought to always be growing. That means nobody ought to be a know-it-all. Only one knows everything, and that's me. But no, nobody ought to be a know-it-all. We're all learning. We're all taking that next step. We're all reading that next page. We're all trying to reach that next plateau, if you please, or that next place. We're all growing in grace. Now, the only difference in us is some of us are older than others, but none of us is grown. It's like our Sunday school. We have a department for the 2-year-olds, and a department for the 3-year-olds, a department for the 4-year-olds, and the 5s, and the 6s, and 7, and 8, and 9, and 10. I can count higher than that. And on up to junior high and the high school. Now, all of those children are growing. They're not all the same age, but they're all growing. Now, nobody in this room or in heaven tonight is full grown. We're all growing. Do you know in heaven they're still growing in grace? Let me remind you of a little something I've used in Bible studies here before and in sermons. When a Jewish boy became an adult, became a major, they called him, the majority, in contrast to being a minor, when he became an adult, his father took him to the Bema, which is a big public area, big public stage that where they would meet for any kind of public presentations or meet for a reading of the news and so forth. It was a Bema. That same word, bema, is translated judgment seat in the Bible. And that father would take, let me use an illustration here. Brother Keith, come up here, would you please? I'll let you be the father. You stand right over here on this side, and you be the father. And let's see. I need a son. Who's the smallest person on the platform? No small people on the platform. Brother Roy, you come be the son. You stand right here, please, if you would. Now then, you take the microphone. You take this microphone. And so this father, his son, has just become an adult. Now, whenever the son became an adult, the father would take the son to the bima. The entire little town or city would gather there before the bima, or before this stage, which was an open air kind of a thing. And the father would declare his son as an adult. So here's what he would say. He would say, "Son, today you become an adult."
Son, today you become an adult.
And he would say, "Inherit my name."
Inherit my name.
Inherit my wealth.
Inherit my wealth.
Don't get your hopes up, son.
Wouldn't be much.
He works for me.
Inherit my bills.
Inherit my bills. Yeah. All right. Then they had what was called a toga pretexto. The toga pretexto was a coat that was given to a boy when he became a man. On the day he became a major and was no longer a minor, he was given the coat called a toga pretexto, which meant that coat could tell everybody he was now an adult. He had worn the toga virilis, which was a coat that showed that he was still a minor. And every boy longed for the day when he could wear the toga pretexto. He longed for the day when he could become an adult. Good night, you ask a kid now. How old are you? I'm nearly 13. Ask me how old I am. I'm just past 62. I mean, every kid wants to grow up. And I recall when I was a boy, we wore short pants when I was a boy down in Texas. Short pants. But when you got 10 years old, you could wear long pants. Folks over here, no talking, please. No talking, please. Son, no talking. I want you to listen. That's why I'm talking up here, is so you can hear what I've got to say. So, when I was a kid, I'd say, "Mama, how long before I can wear long pants?" I was 8 years old. She said, 2 more years. And next year, "Mama, how long before I can wear long pants?" She said, 1 more year. A little while later, "Mama, how long will it be before I can wear long pants?" She said, 6 more months. "Mama, how long will it be before I can wear long pants?" Be another month. "Mama, how long before I can wear..." And boy, I'll tell you, the day I got 10 years old, I put those long pants on, and boy, I walked around the neighborhood. I want everybody to know I didn't wear little short breeches anymore like everybody, little boys did. I was a 10-year-old. Now, this boy here, all these years, has wanted to become an adult. And he said, "Dad, how long before I can get my toga pretexto, my coat that will show to everybody I'm an adult? When can I take off this coat that's the toga virilis that shows I'm a child?" Here's a guy. How tall are you? 6 foot tall?
5'10".
5'10". And weigh what?
185.
And here's a guy. And he's still wearing a little boy's coat. Oh, what a big day it was when the father would stand up in front of the whole city and say, "This is my son.
This is my son.
Son, inherit my name.
Son, inherit my name.
Son, inherit my wealth.
Son, inherit my wealth."
You hear an echo in my voice? I think. Then he would take the coat off of the son, this toga virilis, this boy's coat. He would take it off of him. And boy, what a big day this was for the boy. Then he would take his own coat, the toga pretexto, and he would put the toga pretexto on his son. Now, and then he would say, "Son, today you are a man."
"Son, today you're a man."
Thanks.
You'll grow to it, Roy. Believe me, I can testify to the fact. Now, that picture's a wonderful, wonderful thing. This body I wear is my toga virilis. It is a symbol of the fact that I am not grown yet. But blessed be God, when Jesus comes again, I am going to be grown.
And he's going to stand at the great judgment seat of the universe, and he's going to tell the whole universe, he's going to say, ladies and gentlemen, this is my son. And he's going to say, son, inherit my name. He's going to say, son, inherit my wealth. And then he's going to say, son, take off that old childish coat, and here's a body just like my body. And then I will be an adult, for I shall be like him. Now, only then will I become an adult. And that's exactly what happened here, and that's what it means in Romans 8:28. We long and groan for and wait for our adoption, our majority, that is, the redemption of our bodies. And just like this boy groaned, when can I get my toga pretexto? And that's what the Bible says, that in heaven, the people groan. How long, O Lord? How long? How long what down up in heaven? How long, what do you mean? How long before we can have our glorified bodies? How long before we can be mature? Now then, until that day comes when we are mature, we are supposed to be maturing and becoming more and more and more like him. Dwight L. Moody is still growing in grace. Billy Sunday is still growing in grace. And those of us here on earth are commanded by our God to grow in grace. Thank you, brethren. You may return to your original positions. Sonny boy, you can put your coat back on now. Today, Keith, you become a man. All right? Now, let me say this then. That means, since we grow in grace here, and in heaven they still grow in grace because they have not yet received their glorified bodies and will not to the rapture, that means that we, now this is hard to swallow, that means that we will enter heaven at the same spiritual level of growth that we leave the earth. Just because you die and go to heaven won't make you love the Bible. You will know as much Bible when you get to heaven as you knew when you left earth, because you will continue to grow in grace. A lot of folks have the idea that they can be carnal Christians, sit there and watch that dirty box every night and watch those dirty soap operas every afternoon and listen to your filthy rock music, and then all of a sudden you'll die and go to heaven, and you'll get to heaven and say, well, glory, praise God. No, if you don't praise God when you leave here, you won't praise God when you get there. If you go to Indianapolis tonight, take a trip to Indianapolis, you won't be any smarter when you get there than you were when you left here. So what you better do is you better start growing in grace so you can enjoy heaven more. Because your degree, please set up. We can lean on each other's shoulders later. Let's make love later. Let's listen to God's word tonight. I'm sick and tired of Christian people, folks coming to church and acting like they're watching a ping pong game. This is God's word. This is God's message, and you ought to hear what's going on up here. He said, I'm not going to come back anymore. Then I'll have to clip your wings while you're here, won't I? The only chance I'll have at you. But I want to tell you something. You need to hear what I'm saying. Listen. I've used this illustration here in Bible studies. But here's what you think. You think a person can be watching I Love Lucifer or The Edge of Night or The Corner of Darkness or The Secret Storm or The Tiptoeing Tornado or The Silent Hurricane? You're watching it there. Here's the way you think it is. You're watching it, and here's this guy trying to get this gal to love him, and they're drinking their liquor, and a bunch of people that are not married are hugging and kissing each other on television and going to bed together, and you sit there watching that filth that even decent unsaved folks shouldn't watch, much less God's people. And you sit there and watch that movie that you rented at some place to bring home on your VCR to live like the heathen world lives. And you sit there and you're watching it, and all of a sudden, oh, you have a heart attack and you die and go to heaven. And you think all of a sudden you're watching it and you die. Well, praise God. No, you're not going to praise God. If you don't praise God and you leave here, you won't praise God and you get there. You'll be the same age.
I was in a motel room,
Philadelphia.
And I got to reading the Bible, and I got happy. And I got to having a spell. And I got up on the bed, started jumping up and down, having a spell. And on the bed. And I jumped up down till 2 o'clock in the morning. And somebody knocked on the door. I said, "Hey, what is it? Who is it?" He said, "It's the neighbor next door in the next room. What's going on in there?" He said, "I can't sleep." And I said, "I'm praising God." He said, "Can't we sleep tonight and praise God in the morning?" I said, "Come on in, neighbor. Let's praise God tonight and sleep in the morning." Now, suppose I'm jumping up and down. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. And then all of a sudden, oh, have a heart attack. I won't have to change what I'm doing. See? I just take up right where I left off. Now, you listen to me. You say, "Oh, when I get to heaven, sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace in the mansions bright in heaven. He's prepared for us a place." But now, wait a minute. Those mansions will not be ours until we have our glorified body. Now, our loved ones in heaven. I'm simply saying, it's time some of you people got to loving the Bible now. It's time some of you folks got to praising God now. But Jesus, what he meant when he said, "Grow in grace." Okay, let me say what I've said so far. There are no mature Christians on earth. I said number two, there are no mature Christians in heaven. I said number three, there are only growing Christians and non-growing Christians. They're only maturing Christians and non-maturing Christians. Somebody said, "Well, why don't you grow up?" You can't grow up till you get your glorified body. But you can grow in grace. God said you'll never be perfect. And I'm glad about that. I'm glad that there's so much growth ahead of me. I can keep on growing until I get my glorified body at the rapture, and then I'll become an adult. Next observation. Then don't try to be grown, try to grow. I want to say a word to you college students. There's nothing more sickening than some college freshman theologian that thinks he's mature in the Lord. You go hear a preacher preach and you critique him because you've had one course in homiletics. And you are now mature. And you go home to your home church and this suave kind of an attitude. You come home to show them that you're grown. Let me tell you, you haven't gotten through kindergarten yet. Don't ever get that way. People are tired of these preachers that act like they're grown. "And now, beloved in the Lord." Oh, shut up. Get up and say, "Well, glory, praise God, I learned something else today. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, bless." And that's one reason why at the age of 63, people still come to hear me preach where I go, because I'm still a growing boy. And everybody likes a growing boy. Everybody likes somebody that's growing. And I'm still growing. And you ought to be growing. You'll never get grown, so don't try to be grown. Try to grow. Observation, those who think they, now follow this, those who think they are mature are really just non-growing Christians. They've reached a plateau for which they mistake maturity. This suave, every church has got, not ours, but every other church has got deacons like this. They're the church godfather. I came to this church. One tried to do that. It was our time for our first deacon's meeting. He came by the office and said, "Let's plan what we're going to talk about deacon's meeting so we can present it to the deacons together." I said, "No way, we won't do that." Well, he said, no. Every church has got them. Every church has got women that think they, especially, don't misunderstand me, but these women that teach Bible classes in home Bible studies, these mature women. No such thing as a mature woman. If it's possible to be mature on earth, a woman couldn't be. I'm going to preach the book whether you like it or not. Oh, we say, "Boy, I'd like to be a mature Christian like she is." No such thing. You know, I've said this before.
Do you know what I've done for 30 years in this church and 42 years in the ministry? I've just learned something during the week and rushed up to the pulpit on Sunday to tell you what I learned. That's one reason why it's so good. It's fresh to me too. See? And I just get in the Bible and dig in the Bible and learn what the Bible says and come, hey, look what I learned. That's one reason why Christian colleges are so dead. Same old professors giving the same old dead lecture with the same old dead outlines he's been given since the flood. Stay a child. I walk in here at Vacation Bible School and I'll say, hello, boys and girls. What is your name? I want to know your name. My name is Jack Hiles. I want to know your name. When I say three, you give me your name. Like, my name is Jack Hiles. I say, one, two, three. And they'll say, my name is Jack Hiles. Oh, I say, your name is not Jack Hiles. You've got a name of your own, like Agnes Peabody. My name is Jack Hiles. Ready? One, two, three. All of them say, my name is Agnes Peabody. Oh, no, 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 no. And little boy, same old thing every year. But they love it. Why? They're children. Quit acting like an adult and be a child in the Lord. That's the kind of preachers folks love to hear. Somebody that the Bible's always fresh and the Christian life is always fresh and there's a bounce and a joy and a thrill and an excitement. Grow in grace. That's what the Lord is saying. Don't be grown. Grow in grace. 1 Peter 2:21 says that we should follow in His steps. Didn't say that we should arrive at His destination. That we should follow in His steps. So blessed be God. He comes along tonight and God comes to this room and says to you, grow in grace. What does it mean, God? It means what the preacher said this morning. The preacher said this morning that God gives us a measure of faith. And we can put that faith anywhere we want to put it. And as you put that faith back in the God who gave you that faith, He'll give you more faith. And so you've grown in grace, for by grace are you saved through faith. You see what I'm trying to say? The faith is God's gift, which means it's grace, because grace is God's unmerited favor toward man. Consequently, God gives you more faith by grace. You put that faith back in Him, He gives you more faith by grace, and you are growing in the grace. You don't grow in works, you grow in grace. And as you grow in grace, then the works come because you're growing. You do more for God because you're more grown, because you're continuing to grow. God comes tonight to you and He says to you, are you growing in grace? I'm talking to some people tonight that have stopped growing in grace because you think you're grown. You think you've arrived. I want to make a very, very blunt statement here. There's not one mature Christian who teaches at Howells Anderson College. Don't forget that. Not one mature Christian who teaches at Howells Anderson College. There are two types of teachers. One who is growing in grace and the other who is stale in grace. One who is continuing to grow. Now, there are the teachers at Howells Anderson College are more grown than you fellows and ladies who've been here for 7 weeks. I'd like to say to you preacher boys, if you enrolled as a freshman in September, you're not going to be Billy Sunday by November. It's going to take at least the end of the first semester. Oh, let me tell you something. One of the greatest things about the Christian life to me is the fact that we always stay little children. In my book on Grace and Truth, chapter number 1, is one of my favorite chapters of all the books I've written. It's called Be a Childish Juvenile Adult. Boys and girls, help me here. All the boys and girls, stand up. All the boys and girls that go to Kingdom Bible School, stand up, would you please? I'm tired. I want to get some rest. I've been sick. I've had pneumonia. And I want to get some sleep. Now, boys and girls, don't you let me down right now. If you go to Hammond Baptist, I'll flunk you in school this year. Don't you let me down right now. Boys and girls, I'm tired. I've got to get some rest. I've had pneumonia, so I'm tired. So please, I've got to rest a while, okay? All right.
I said, I've got to get some rest. I need my rest. I've had pneumonia. Don't you care for an old man? You've got to be quiet while I get my rest. Now, that's the way we do it. You can be seated. That's the way, and I'm going to get my rest while I'm sitting down and preach for a while. That's the way. I may just lay down and preach for a while. That's... Look. If you'll be real careful, in this old 63-year-old, worn-out, senile old man, you'll see little Jackie Boy howls every time he preaches. And I refuse to let him go. Why? I'm growing. Then, same thing's true. I'm 63 years of age. Conduct a nationwide youth conference every year. I speak to teenagers all across America. 63 years of age. You know why? Because if you look very carefully, every time I preach, you'll find the adolescent Jack Hiles. Why? Because I want... You'll find the old Jack Hiles now. Man, I want to stay excited. I want to keep thrilled. I want to find a new nugget in this Bible every day. I want to find a new joy in prayer every day. I want to find a new blessing and victory and soul winning every day. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. You get the place where you know it all. You're not mature. You stop growing. Ah, but if you can keep your joy and keep your thrill and keep on growing in grace, I'll guarantee you the Christian life will get better. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love Him more and more. Somebody said to me, Brother Hiles, since you've got back, you seem to be as strong as you were before you left. I don't know whether I'm strong or not. I'm just glad to be preaching again. I'll lip off after a while and go back home. But right now I'm preaching. And it's new. And it's fresh. It always is. And that's why our Lord Jesus came and He said, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Are you grown tonight? Have you gotten to a place where you think you've sort of arrived? No, you haven't arrived. And when you get to heaven, you know what's going to happen when we get to heaven? The dear Lord Jesus is going to say it's time for morning Bible study. He's going to take His nail-scarred hands and open this old book. And we're going to sit there and we're going to listen to Him as He teaches. He's going to teach us the four Gospels. He's going to show us things that we didn't learn down here. And we're going to learn those things one at a time. And we're going to say, "Woo! That's wonderful. Glory be to God." And then He's going to say, our next speaker will be the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul is going to come and teach the book of Romans verse by verse. And he's going to pull out nuggets we never saw before. And we'll learn them and keep on going. That's why they shout in heaven. They don't shout, if I just get away from this arthritis, I'll praise God. Well, I would. I'd like to get rid of my arthritis, too. I got arthritis, neuritis. Arthritis, neuritis, bursitis, all of it. All those boys, they're all in the same family. But that's not why I'm going to shout in heaven. I'm going to shout in heaven because I sit there and I learn the truth of the book of Romans. And all of a sudden Paul says, "This is what I meant." And I say, "Man alive! That's wonderful! Wow, glory!" And Jesus is going to say, "Now then, we're going to have John. He's going to teach on Revelation." John's going to stand up there and teach us the book of Revelation and tell us what all those tigers and lions and elephants meant and all those beasts that had a head like a woman. You never notice? All those beasts had a head like a woman. All of them did. All of them did. You'll never find any beast had a head like a man. They didn't say that. It says has hair like a woman, a head like a... I'm going to preach it whether you like it or not. Ah, but John will tell us all those, what the seven trumpets and the seven thunders and the seven vials and the seven seals all were. And we'll learn the blessed word of God. And John's going to teach us a lot about Jesus. And Jesus is going to teach us all about the communion and exactly what it meant. And we'll learn and learn and we'll praise God and love Him. Why? We're still growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's what God wants us to do now. I'm talking to hundreds of Christians in this room tonight who've not grown. You're not growing in grace. You've gotten, yes, I've heard that before. It didn't do anything for you before. Let it grab you this time. Rejoice in the good things of God and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I was thinking, while I was sick, it was my mama's, the day my mama was buried passed while I was sick. I was thinking about my mama. She's with Jesus tonight. But she's not up there saying, "Well, I have arrived. I have my degree on the wall." No, she's not. She's learning. She's having a spell. My mama's learning tonight. Why? Her mama died when she was 9. And mama says, "Now I know it." And she falls at the feet of Jesus and says, "I love you." Praise God. I can see it now. My mama's been learning now for these 5 years. Since September the 20th, 1984. My mama's been learning why the Depression came and took their little store they had, and they lost everything they had. And my mama's been learning for these 5 years why her oldest child, Loreen, was afflicted, never walked or talked, and was a spastic child and died when she was 7. And my mama's been learning all these years why little Hazel had the measles when she was 7, her second child, and why she died when she was 7. And my mama's been learning all these years why her third child, Erlene, didn't die when she was 7. And those are three heartaches of my mother's life. Loreen died at 7. Hazel died at 7. Erlene lived at 7. And Mama's learning about it now, and she's praising the Lord and rejoicing. Oh, I want to see Him look upon His face. Oh, I want to thank Him for His saving grace. It'll just be a little while till all of us will be there. Won't be long. Now, while we're here, why don't we put aside all the junk of this old world and all the trash and second-class stuff, and why don't we try to grow in grace so when we get to heaven, we can get to heaven and we can praise the Lord like He ought to be praised. I praise God every week of my life. I have at least several spells where I just praise God. I'm getting in practice. This is rehearsal time. And I just to get alone, I praise Him and rejoice and shout His praises and thank Him and love Him and bless God for His goodness to me. What a tragedy it is for us to stay so little.
Brother Hines, will a person go to hell if he listens to rock music?
No, he won't go to hell if he's saved, but he won't enjoy heaven when he gets there. He's going to say, "Where is Madonna?" He's going to say, "She went to a warmer climate." "Where's Michael Jackson?" "He's with Madonna." You won't enjoy. You'd be bored. Some of you folks be bored to death when you get to heaven. You're going to turn a channel on. You're going to try to find Edge of Night, and it's going to be it's going to be Daniel teaching the Book of Daniel verse by verse on that channel. You're going to turn to the next channel. You're going to try to find Texas. I mean the program Texas. You will be in Texas then. But you're going to find, say, where's the program Texas? Where is the Cosby Show? You're going to turn to the next channel. There's going to be Paul teaching Romans. He said, I'm going to get me a cable. Yeah. So you're going to turn on Showtime. Huh? Showtime. And you're going to see the book of Revelation.
unfold before your eyes. And Jesus will be instructing. Ah, what a blessed future we have. That's why I used this illustration years ago in teaching. Let's see. Do you know anything about football? Mm-hmm. You, ma'am. You know anything about football? You know what red dogging is? Uh-huh. You know what a first down is? You don't know. Good. You're the one I want. Would you mind if I took your wife to a football game just in my mind right now? All right. Now spread this one around the country, would you please? And so I take her to a football game. We sit side by side a football game. And so on a 50-yard line, same tickets, same price, tickets. And I'm watching the game. She knows nothing about it. All she knows is some of those big guys have on cuter uniforms than the others do. And I say, "Hey, look at that red dog." She says, "Where's red dog?" I said, "Hey, look at that split end run." She grabs her hair to see if she got a split end in her hair. Now, we're sitting in the same stands. We both have the same price ticket. We're both sitting on the 50-yard line. We're watching the same game, and she is bored to tears because she has not studied the rule book. And I'm having the time of my life because I know football inside and out. I'm having the time of my life. Now, when I get to heaven, I'm going to have the time of my life because I've been studying the rule book all these years. And I've been getting acquainted with the referee all these years. I'm going to sit there beside you. And he's going to say, "I'm going to teach this morning on the book of Zephaniah." And you're going to go, And I'm going to turn to it right after 1 Corinthians. I'm going to turn to it. Oh, what a pitiful bunch of... What shallow Christians we are. What a shallow kind of Christianity we have. We change our services from 7 o'clock to 6 o'clock so the folks can get to the McDonald's before they close. And everything changes. Why? Listen, God's people, it's time to grow up! And God's command is for you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll ask you one question and close. Then I'll ask you another question and close again. I'll ask you one question and close. How much would you enjoy heaven? Huh? If you went there right now? A lot of you are hoping that I close now because if it closes, it's 8:38. Invitation lasts about 10 minutes, 8:48. And then baptism lasts about 8:58. And Brother Hiles will probably think of something else to say. And it'll be about 9 o'clock. If he quits right now, we can be out by 9. Isn't that sad? You get to heaven. You think Jesus is going to quit talking at 9? Bible said Paul preached till midnight. One fellow fell asleep, dropped off, and killed him. Boy, I'd like to see that one time. But anyway, I mean, you folks that sleep, but listen, be careful. Don't sit on the edge of your seat while I'm preaching because I can't raise folks from the dead like he could. What a sorry bunch we are. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we... I'm going to put you in the nursery, ma'am. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we loved this book as much as we love the World Series? I know what you're thinking about right now, fellas. I know, and that's why I'm still preaching. I know what you're thinking about. And I know you fellas that are wearing those earplugs aren't deaf. You ain't got me fooled at all. I got a fellow in the back holding up the score after every inning, so I'll know how it's going. You haven't got me fooled at all. Not at all. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we loved this book as much as we love the World Series? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we loved to pray as much as we love football?
Wouldn't it be wonderful if we enjoyed fellowship with Christ as much as we do watching some of these sorry programs? It's time we grew in grace. God's command is growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is growing in grace? Simply appropriating by faith the next thing He has to give you. That's all it is. And then you grow. And in response to you using that faith to place back in Him, He gives you other faith. And you don't grow. You don't grow in works. You say, I'm going to serve God harder and grow. No, you don't grow in works. You grow in grace, by faith, by grace. And then growth comes. And as growth comes, then you can work harder. And you ought to work harder as the growth comes. Our Heavenly Father,